This is the recollections of Rav Zilbu Berman on the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. When did you first come to Lakewood?
I came to Lakewood in the year 1957.
Where were you from? Where did you come from? Okay. Where was that located?
Located in Crown Heights.
I guess before you went to Israel.
No, I was born at Israel.
No, before he came to Israel. He went to Israel afterwards. Didn't he go to Israel?
Yeah, before he went to
Israel.
Then I made my place in Lakewood.
Who would you point to contact?
I had a brother-in-law, the Mayor Minzel, Hashalom. That's how I got into the yeshiva, and I spent as a bocher and as a yigman, total 5 years.
Mm-hmm. From 57 to 62 to then.
Right after the yeshiva's nest day.
Okay, but what was the experiences like there?
My experience with Rosh Yeshiva, what should I tell you? Probably you must have heard it.
Doesn't matter.
Heard it dozens and dozens of times.
Each time it's worth while hearing it again.
An individual which I haven't seen anywhere. I'm talking about Dirty Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing coming near to any Dirty Yisrael.
Can you give me some incidents that stand out in your mind that?
It was just a ball of fire of Torah.
Yeah. Voice activated.
Mm-hmm. Let's stop it a minute. What I saw in Rebarin, I guess what everybody else saw is the same thing. I got to Israel. Full of Torah. Torah was his life from the minute he got up to the minute he went to sleep. If he wasn't involved in Torah, he was involved in Klal Yisrael. He was restless. He wasn't taking a break for 5 minutes. Let's do this. Take a rest. There was no such thing as rest. Active. Constant from the morning till at night. And when he went to sleep, you can see it wasn't rested. You can see he felt he didn't accomplish yet whatever he had to accomplish. That was Rebarn, always busy thinking of Klal Yisrael. Biggest thing I saw for a barn yet, every Rosh Yeshiva thinks about his yeshiva, which is only normal, how to take care of the yeshiva, how to raise the money for his yeshiva. The barn was no such thing as my yeshiva. Klal Yisrael yeshiva, all yeshivas in America, that was his goal. Not my yeshiva Zika. Yeshiva is for every yeshiva bocha, any yeshiva that he went to, any yeshiva that was his problem, was his worry. And I'm sure he raised more money for other yeshivas than he raised for Lakewood. Again, because of Barn, his goal was Torah for Klal Yisrael. Torah is not just Lakewood, Torah is all over. That's the story that got Uber Baron Kotler was. And you saw it from his actions constantly, non-stop. As if Lakewood was the last place he had to take care of. Whenever he spoke to any function, I don't ever recall he specifically spoke about Lakewood. He always spoke about Torah in America, Torah for yeshiva life, how much we need Torah to grow. Now, once was, that I recall, Lakewood was number one on the list. I don't think he ever mentioned Lakewood either. Because his side was not Lakewood. Of course, Lakewood was the foundation for all yeshivas in America. But again, you never saw a barn thinking of Lakewood alone. It was Klal Yisrael. That's what the Baron Kotler was. Always worried about Klal Yisrael. And nobody has to tell you what he did for Eretz Yisrael. What do you call it? Chinuch Atzmoy. This is Monsieur Snafish from Chinuch Atzmoy. It says Monsieur Snafish, he invested minutes. Whenever you were in his apartment, for hours straight, calling back and forth, worried about the Chinuch Neves Yisrael, forget about the money part of it, financial part of it, worrying about how it's moving, the Chinuch Neves Yisrael. It was on top of his mind. It was the first thing in his mind, Neves Yisrael, the Chinuch Neves Yisrael for Klal Yisrael. Well, what I'm going to tell you now is not, probably not the first and not the last that you're going to hear. Whatever worries, whatever was on his mind, naturally, which was Klal Yisrael, day in, day out, Klal Yisrael in America, going around worrying and worrying constant, non-stop. Once you get up to the Aron Kodesh, say you shear, this was a different person. Everything is forgotten. The fire of Torah you see in front of you, how it burns in him. All about Shiurim. So Gebrent, Torah Gebrent, almost physically you can see. The place where it was, Shav Lashon Hara, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One time I drove the Rosh Yeshiva with Amish Bunim together to sort of a big ball boss at that time. We sat down. As I said, we went in together with Rosh Yeshiva and Amish Bunim. He sat in his guy's office, and the Rosh Hashiva was introduced to this Baal Bos, which I don't want to mention name, and during our conversation, this Baal Bos took his 2 feet and put it on top of his desk. It was bizarre, I tell you. I was ready to just pull this guy's feet on the floor and forget about his donation. Amos Bunim sort of, you know, like hinted the whole back. And the Rosh Yeshiva just sat there. And I was going through my mind, I'm wondering, why didn't the Rosh Yeshiva go out? I mean, there is COVID at Torah after all. But knowing the Rosh Yeshiva, you can see that he's. You'll go out all kinds of bizyonos just for Chizuk HaTorah. All kinds of bizyonos. It was bothering me. Adayim, I can't forget it. The bizyon. But the Rosh Yeshiva's way of thinking was differently. He felt that he had to sit and accept it the way it is, whatever the reason was. Warmed up giving $500 at that time. This goes back about 40 some odd years ago. Chassidus Rosh Yeshiva also didn't want to make this person feel so pressed about giving the money. He says, they kind of saw some Zex Chadoshim. I used to drive to a shiva once a month to lay it to New York back and forth that day. When I was in his house, in the apartment on 47th Street in Borough Park, so the sefer buried over there. The sefer was called Teiras Refoel, with full of alojman. Came in an envelope. I don't think the shiva ever looked at it. So I took it in my hand. I asked the shiva if I can borrow it for a few days. I'll be back. Yeah, it's not today. So when I drove the Rosh Hashiva back, I had the safe room in the front seat. The Rosh Hashiva opened it up, looked at it, and he said to me, "You could have given a four text better. You could have given him safe a four text better." It seemed like the mahalach of the Torah's refoil was the same mahalach as cheshbonos. He happened to like it, so that's why he said, "Okay, for the gemma potash meta."
This is the right cheshbonos.
Well, you guys don't see that. Shitosa is, that's the refoil Shapiro. If you look in the safety, he goes along with Shitosa. He said, many swarms the Rosh Hashiva didn't have at all. Probably had Karen Aranya Vomis or Shagasaya. But Shasi never had. He had single Gemaras he had. The biggest simcha by the Rosh Hashiva was one day in the Yeshiva, which was located on 7th and Forest, in his little room. He walks in one day and sees a whole Shas, the whole Rambam in front of him, which Stephen Klein gave a present. It was the biggest simcha by him. He never owned anything. He didn't own a set of Rashba or Mitzvah Rambam. And obviously became a Baron Kotler with all his...
A lot of people have fun, they don't look at it for themselves. But they told me something to borrow.
Also, I remember also the Sefer Divrei Chaim from the Sounds of Rov.
Yeah.
I used to look in frequently, I used to look into it. I once watched him at night before he went to sleep, laying with his hand on his head and just practically reading the whole Divrei Chaim. It was such printing such small words that time. He was sifting through it, going through the Sefer blatter after blatter after blatter, until he fell asleep finally. This is a story I heard from somebody concerning the Sefer Divrei Chaim with the Rosh Hashiva. One Friday afternoon, Rosh Hashiva comes rushing into the yeshiva. He asked the Bocha standing there, Divrei Chaim. The Bocha looked at the yeshiva. Zach Divrei Chaim. The Shiva looked at him. Ich mein da Divrei Chaim. Ich mein da Divrei Chaim. It's sort of like, be careful how you talk, you know what I mean? Divrei Chaim, it sounds like a robber, but don't be sure. This mice, I heard from a very, very reliable source. I didn't experience myself. I heard it from a very reliable source. One time before we went back to Lakewood from his apartment on 47th Street Thursday evening, the Rebbetzin was all enthusiastic about taking care of him. She prepared everything for him to take. Of course, I'm not talking about the meals. She served him like a king. But after we're ready to leave, he's got his famous chamedan, if you heard of it, left.
No, I never heard it.
Well, I don't know if you never heard that.
No.
The chamedan is a suitcase.
Yeah, yeah.
Wherever he traveled, the shiurim went with him.
Mm-hmm.
He never left it alone. When he was in Lakewood, he took it with him to New York. New York, Lakewood. That chamedan always went with him. So, as we were ready to leave, he asks somebody, who's the Mishnah HaGro? We're looking, we can't find it. And of course, the Mishnah HaGro wasn't his own. He hardly ever owned anything. And when the zucht and the looking for it, all of a sudden the Rebbetzin bursts out, upset. Was tut so do? Mir nehmt zwar von Menschen dort in Achmona des Landes. Ich habe von Zegre do. Was tut so do? I know I'm saying exactly those words, but like the way she said it, that, like, you know, it was the chais, it's not you, it's a Muslim. Finally, after a few minutes, we found it. And after finding it, Rebbetzin goes down, she takes his hand, she's asking if she's from the Chiba. I don't remember those words, but like, you know, she's from the Vayim, she's called it a Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to him, nope. I remember exactly what he says.